him one more time. Lord, I pray you have your will right now, God. Lord, you're in this house. We praise you for your powerful presence, Lord, and your will. And ask it be done in Jesus' name. We praise your name, Lord. We thank you for your blessings and your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Terrell Dixon, I want you to come up here and greet this church. It is so good to have the Dixon family back for the first time with Jonathan. He's the three-month addition. Beautiful, healthy baby boy. But I want to hear a good word from the Lord from Brother Dixon. God bless you, brother.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's good to be here. It's our first time in this sanctuary, and I'm glad that the Lord has blessed you all so beautifully. Feel like we got a little more shouting room in here. Praise the Lord. Thank God for my wife and our chubby little baby. Praise the Lord. The Lord blessed us about 3 months ago. Like I said, it's good to be here. Good to see all y'all. See a lot of new faces. I don't know if you're new or we just ain't been here in a while, but it's good to see everybody. Brother McGuire was talking this morning about staying focused in ministry, and that is what me and my wife, by the help of God, are trying to do. Some of you read on Facebook that yesterday was my first time going into the Sumter County Jail to do Bible studies in there. And the week before, we were on the radio preaching the gospel. And next week, we'll be on the radio preaching the gospel. And so we feel a call of God to a city near us. Don't know exactly what the Lord want to do, but we have been going down there just about every Saturday. I got an old Ford truck and a big old Acts 238 sign in the back of it. And we go down there every Saturday, blowing the horn, waving at people, talking to people, just trying to do what we can. You don't have to be a big-time preacher to do something for God. And whatever you can do, just do it. Witnessing is the best way. We ain't going to be able to find no easy way to have revival. There ain't no easy way. But whatever we can do for God, let's do it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, brother. It really is like that. Revival breaks out because we work for it. It just doesn't fall in our lap. But God loves somebody with work clothes on. And a burden for souls. Amen. Well, if you'd stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, I will let you sit after that for 2 hours of my sermon. You have plenty of time. Amen. No. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Then I'm going to go to Matthew 8 and verse 21 and 22. You may remember this scripture from not too many days ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago I used this text. And I want to take it and go in a little bit further with it. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Matthew 8 and 21 says, then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Meaning, when I'm done with all of my family situations, I'll be back. But Jesus said, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. You come with me. This is the time. This is the point. This is the place. And I want to talk for 2 hours, a couple minutes, a few minutes, on this title, The Sand Problem. Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about sand and stone, and it was a very simple subject, and this one is too. But I want to go a little bit further, maybe get a little more close to home, and talk about our sand problem. Father, I ask your help in this, God, that you would anoint our minds and ears. And Lord, let your word find a place. And Lord, let your perfect will be done. Lord, let your perfect will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. You are our strength, our God, and we thank you for all that you are and all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. one of the things, and I hope I don't talk a lot about from time to time the things I hate, because I don't hate a lot of things. I don't have a lot of annoyances, probably more than I know. But one of the things that really I cannot stand at all is sand on a tile floor. Just makes me shiver thinking about it. You walk into a nice room and you take that first step and your foot just goes, and there's sand. Now that's with shoes on. I sure don't like it with bare feet. I don't like sand if I'm walking into a beach condo and I'm getting ready to see a sunset and unwind and relax, and I walk in and right away there's sand on the floor. So one of the first things that I look for when we check into a tile floor type arrangement, which normally that is what they have at the beach, is I find the broom and the dustpan, because those are going to be my constant companions. So because I will get up from just any random thought and just walk over there and just start sweeping sand, because it could have come in while I was sitting over here. Now, I don't mean that's all I'm doing. I'm not OCD about sand. Maybe a little bit. But I don't like sand under my shoes. I don't like to feel the sand when I'm walking into what is supposed to be a nice clean place. Now, 2 weeks ago, as I said, I preached on sand and stone, and I think we get the principle there that when we serve God, we build our lives on a firm foundation. We get that. And when we don't include God in any part of that, we begin to build on what is an unstable surface and build on sand. And you know the scripture says what happens. But you do things right. You do everything right. You live your life right. You build on firm foundation. You know the Bible. You have the scriptures memorized, and you know what the right and wrong is, and you know doctrine, and you know distinctives and standards that we talk about. But somebody else bumps up against you. Someone maybe in your family kind of gets involved and brings you into a situation, and suddenly their life doesn't have so much stone. Their life is a little bit sandy. And before you know it, they've left sand track through your tile house. And so you're dealing with a little bit of sand. And a little bit of sand can always be vacuumed up or swept up. And you got a broom handy. You know what to do. You can sweep it up a little bit. I remember when we got our brand new red carpet in our house. And it was right around the time when red carpet was, you know, popular, and velvet paintings. We had the bullfighter paintings, you might have had Elvis, the velvet Elvis, but we had velvet bullfighter. We were in Texas. Mexico was close, and we went there and bought some great velvet, famous name brand paintings for the living room. But we had red carpet, and I remember the man came in to repair the washing machine, perhaps, one of the appliances. My mother carefully took a bed sheets, and she put a trail of bed sheets from their living room into the kitchen so that the red new carpet would not get any sand on it, because outside it wasn't that clean. And I remember the man, she opens the door and he walks inside and he jumps over that sheet and he walks on the carpet, and then he jumped the other side and walked into the kitchen, and my mom's just going. I said, "Mom, he thinks he's trying not to get your white sheet dirty. It's white. The carpet's red." And she said, "I realize that now." And she didn't want to say anything to him because the damage was done. He was already in the house. But Mom really wanted to keep that red carpet clean. Sometimes, no matter what you do, you're going to get a little sand on your tile floor. And that's just one of those things that happens. But first thing that we have to do, church, is to maintain our godly influence and not be swayed by the sand that gets into our life. Because we will get sand in our life. It takes maintenance. This life takes maintenance. You cannot just stand still and live for God. You actually can't even just walk in here and sit down and get up and get in your car and drive home and that be what we do to live for God. Because sand, debris is going to blow into your home, and before long you're walking on the things you've been delivered from. So we have to constantly maintain our actions and maintain our life and maintain our mind. And we must pray daily to ask the Lord to have His hand in our life and control the way that we do things and clean things out from time to time. We have to get a broom and we need to sweep up sometimes and say, Lord, let me be mindful of the troubles that I could be into. Luke 10 says this, verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. You realize how it made a difference already in the story. He went in, and there was Martha, received him into her house. She's the person that makes sure he's going to get in the door. But then there was Mary who sat at his feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. She wasn't expecting this, was she? Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. When he says your name twice, that's hands on hips. That's mom was angry when she used to tell him, use my full name, scream it out the back door. The Lord was perturbed. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. You know what Jesus was saying? I want you to look at something here. You're worried about the dishes in the sink, and you're worried about a few things here and there, but she's choosing the good part. What the Lord was saying, it's not the natural things and the natural debris that you need to be careful with, but it's the fact that you're leaving what is necessary, and that is my word that is getting into her heart. You need to understand she's doing it right. You're worried about the wrong things, and it's going to come back to get you. So she's worried about the sand on the natural sand on the floor. And he said, Martha, that's not going to get it. You need to sit down in the sand and let my words do a work in you. See, these were two sisters that he loved. He raised their brother from the dead, and that this was a great story, and they should know this is their Savior, their friend. They understood, we read, that they realized he was a resurrection and the life. He has words of life. But Martha complained about Mary. She's not helping with the chores. But Jesus was in the house. Jesus was in the house. There was a problem there. Martha was troubled about a lot of things. And just because I'm busy doesn't mean I'm going to be right. Busy doesn't always mean right. We can find a lot of things to do. We can busy ourselves until our house can be full of literally spiritual sand, when what we need to do is choose the needful part and say, let me pause a while, God, and put my mind on you and embrace your word and embrace your concepts and understand that it's spiritual goals and values I'm after today. Amen? Sometimes we need to grab a broom and get busy. Amen. You know, it could have been first Monday prayer or second Monday prayer. That's tomorrow, men. But Martha, I'm going to do some housework. I'm living on a rock. But she was standing in sand. You realize? She wasn't choosing the spiritual. She was choosing the natural. And so just glance, if you would, back into this home. You got two sisters. Mary chose right. Martha chose wrong. But Mary was affected by Martha. You're going to be affected by the people that you're connected with, whether it's in your home or on your job. And you may be as clean as you can and doing everything right, but sometimes the debris of others is going to affect and impact your life. And we've got to know how to deal with that. Genesis 2, 21 and 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham. Now, even when you read this, you realize it's a little bit mysterious, a little bit different. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham. Sarah saw a woman's son, not her own son. He wasn't there yet. Mocking, or rather he was there, but he was a child, and he was being mocked by the son of her provision, her earthly, faithless provision. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son. I know I started it, but cast her out. It's okay. It's all right. We make mistakes. But there's a point where we need to come full circle and realize that was a mistake. That's a mess I got myself into. And I need to sweep the sand and the debris out of my house so that I can stand on what God wants me to stand on. Often we get our hands involved in the work of God, but we allow things to interfere with what we're doing, and we can't do a right job because of the debris. She said, I want you to cast out the bondwoman and her son, because the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. It's not going to work out anymore. It's okay to have a redo. It's all right to say, Lord, I made a mistake. That wasn't a great idea, a suggestion, you know, hey, I can't have any children, but how about Hagar? She'll have children for me. That wasn't uncommon in that day at all. It didn't raise any eyebrows. That's what you did. You had to have an heir. And it was just a shortcut. Let's try this instead of walking by faith. And some act of faithlessness can also come back to get you sometimes. Amen. It seems like a good idea at the time. Instead of living by faith in God's promises, you know, we'll do it our way. But I'll tell you, it's always good to sweep out a bad idea as soon as you realize it's a bad idea. Honey, I don't think we should have done that. I don't think we should have gone there. I don't think we should have talked about that. I don't think the kids should have been in on all of that. As soon as we realize that we've gone wrong, we need to get a broom out and correct the problem. Because even though we may be in church and we may be worshiping God and building our house on the rock, there are situations that occur where the sand blows into our house and we got to sweep it back out, or we're going to have the elements of instability in our life. Amen. I think this is something that can affect us pretty much all the time if we're not careful. Parents, don't compromise on our apostolic identity so that you might get them coaxed to come to church one more time. That is never going to work out. Well, as long as we give them a little more liberties, maybe they'll love the church a little bit and serve God. That is never going to work out. You're removing protection from them. You're taking away the very thing that the Lord wants on them. You're removing identity, and you're putting sand on your wonderful foundational floors. We cannot short-circuit or shortcut the act of God and think we're doing our kids a favor. I'm sorry. May not be popular, but that's never going to work. And if I'm going to be a pastor and believe in and preach the Word of God, I've got to be honest with you. That's never worked out. No one has ever come back and said, well, it did real well for us. We just kept backing up and backing up and letting them have their way. And before long, they woke up one day and said, yep, I'm ready now to get all the way back to where we were. No, it's allowing the flesh to have its way, and that's never going to work out. But I'm thankful today this godly woman, Sarah, finally woke up one day and said, cast the bondwoman out. That didn't work. We're going to go back to original plan A, not B, because that's God's word and that's God's plan. And you know what the Lord did? He made a way for them to let that woman go. And he said, hey, y'all go ahead. Abram said, you go. I'll bless you. God's going to be right. She saw an angel, and an angel came to her and said, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to make of your son a great nation. It's going to be all right. She was a victim of someone else's doubt of the circumstance, and God had mercy on her, but God was still able to bless Abraham and Sarah and let Isaac grow up and be the heir. Amen. Now, Amnon, I want to tell you about him. I won't read it because you know the story also. But the Bible tells us that Amnon, as one of David's sons, had a friend named Jonadab. And Jonadab was a conniving, actually, it's his cousin. And he said, man, why is it that you are so distraught lately? You're losing weight. You're looking peaked. He said, I tell you, I'm in love with Tamar, my half-sister. I understand, in that culture, that wasn't a terrible thing like it would be today. It was done, and so it wasn't unusual. And he said, I'm in love with her. He goes, hey, you're a king's son. You have no business being in want. I'll tell you how to get her. And instead of saying, go to your dad and say, I'd like to marry this beautiful sister of my brother Absalom, Jonadab had an evil plan. Why don't you tell your dad you're sick and you'd like her to come make some of those pancakes she makes that you love so much. And when she comes into your apartment to make the pancakes and bring them to you, you attack her. You have your way. that works out. That's a great way to start a relationship. See, that's Jonadab. Here this young man is living in a life provided by a father who was a man after God's own heart. So he had a secure life, kingdom family. But Jonadab, his cousin, not so much. And the evil influenced Amnon with a terrible suggestion. And so he goes and lies to his father and says, I'm sick. Send my sister right away. I just love her pancakes. And he defiled his own sister. Even while she begged him and said, don't do this. If you go to my father, you know what he'll do. He will allow this. It will be all right. But don't do this evil before God. He couldn't be stopped. And here, in an environment where God could so easily have blessed, we have a young lady that's been attacked, embarrassed, and humiliated. But see, the problem was, it was Absalom's sister who was Amnon's older brother. Absalom kills Amnon. Now, Absalom's a murderer. Absalom's a murderer. Absalom now has to flee and stay gone for a few years until David allows him to come back. But when he comes back, David didn't deal with it right away. He can come back, but I don't want to see that boy's face. What about forgiveness, David? Do you remember? Remember Psalm 6, how you prayed a prayer of forgiveness? You remember David? David couldn't forgive him. No, I don't want to see his face. When David finally made amends with Absalom, he was bitter. He had already enticed the people, got them on his side. He stood in the court gates, made deals with them. Oh, how did they rule your case? Thus and so, I wouldn't have done it. Here's what I would have done. And he won the hearts of the people until he caused a revolt. You can take it back. You can take it back to Jonadab and a suggestion. And if you want to go back even further, you can take it back to where David brought filth into his house when he shouldn't have been in his home in the first place. Should have been in battle. But see, it trickles down. Sand just continues to trickle down into every detail of the life. When David repented, he was repentant of everything. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Because he realized it wasn't just me. Absalom killed Amnon. Joab killed Absalom. And he waited to his deathbed, David did. And he turns to Solomon and he said, you know what my nephew Joab did. Don't hold him guiltless. He waited until he died. I don't think David felt like he had the right to take his life while he was alive, because David recognized his hand in all of that. But when you realize such a blessed man of God could have had everything, but just there was a time when kings go to battle, and it said David remained in the house. David, you was building on stone, but you brought some debris into your home. And after that, well, we see what happens. You know, I opened with the scripture of a man that wanted to follow Jesus. And he said, Lord, I want to follow you. I love everything about what you're doing. And I want to know more about you. And Jesus says, come on and follow me. And he says, I've got to go bury my father, which meant his dad was probably sickly. And it would be time before long to bury him. And he said, let me go bury my father. He simply let Jesus know, I'm going to be back as soon as I go to bury him. There's no evil intent there. But he was standing next to the giver of life. He was standing next to the one that could make a difference in his father. He was standing next to the one that could breathe life where there was death. But the point Jesus was making was, man, you don't know the magnitude of the blessing you have with me right here. Right here. When my brother Jerry joined the Navy, and went overseas and went on the tour they do, you know, the Mediterranean, as they train them there. He said to me, he said, you don't understand what you've got when you go to church on Sundays and Tuesday nights and Thursday nights. He said, you have no idea. He goes, I know, I was there. I hated going to church. He said, but I would give anything. There's so many times, he said, I'm on the fantail of that ship doing guard duty 2 o'clock in the morning to 6 or something, he said, and I'm back there thinking, Lord, I would love to be sitting on the pew hearing my pastor preach, and I'd love to be there on Bible study night that I used to call boring and listening to the preacher preach. Lord, I'd love to be in an atmosphere. What he was saying is, I wish I was building a foundation on a rock and not out here with the seeking sands. I wish I had what I despised before, because he said, I didn't know what I had until I got to the other side of the world. And sometimes we don't know what we've got until we realize we didn't pay attention to it, we didn't embrace it, we didn't love it like we really should have loved it, until it's all gone. Galatians says in chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And this is the crux of it here, y'all. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh, we that do earthly things, and we all have to do some of those things. But remember, when we sow to the flesh of the flesh, we will reap corruption. If I'm going to balance this out, friend, I like to eat fried chicken as much as anybody. But I can't do that every day, all day long, because there's a reaping that comes with that. Amen. There's a point where you got to stop and exercise and live life. But it's all right to eat a meal now. We understand it. But there's got to be a balance in life. And what we do is, when we sow to our flesh over and again, and perhaps to a level that's not healthy, we reap corruption. We reap what's left of that. And how do we get out of that, church? What do we do? He said, but he that soweth to the Spirit, that's us right here, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. When we sow to the Spirit, we reap life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart, one translation says. Sowing to the flesh, that's sand. That's what Jesus was talking about. Sowing to the Spirit, that's the rock. But there's sometimes sand blows in and it's not yours. It's just a circumstance. But if we let it stay there. See, I don't mind walking on sand. I didn't say that. I like walking on sand. You know where I like walking on sand? On the beach, not in the house. I like a division between it. I like this. Wipe the shoes off. I don't want to get any of that in the house. I want house foundation. I want sand foundation. And when I'm walking on the sand and the sun's setting and I'm holding my wife's hand and we're watching it, we're taking 20 pictures of the same sunset with each of us with our own phone, and we're walking through the water that's right over our ankles, I really like that. That's fun. But when I get back to the room, I don't want to walk through water up to my ankles anymore. It's all in its place. That's what I like about it. But when I'm walking out there looking at the sunset, you want to ruin a good sunset? Step on a rock. Step on a rock, and all of a sudden that walk gets real precarious, and I get very much in pain, and I get very aggravated. For why is there a rock in the sand? They should keep those out of here. There should be a sign. There should be a warning. The house has rock. They've got it all crushed up into concrete, and I like that, and they put tile on it. That's what I like. But when I'm out in the sand, I want sand. I don't want rock mixed in with it. We went to a beach on one of the cruises, and it was a nice beach, but it's all rocks. I mean, all rocks. You don't jump in there head first. You just say, how you doing? We're going to move along now, because you're a beach with rocks. May as well have a sign that says, do not enter. We don't like visitors because it's a beach with rocks. Each to his own. Lord, give me a rock to stand on when I'm in your house. Give me a rock to build my house on when I'm serving you. But Lord, whenever situations of life bring sand upon me, I don't want to get used to the sand. I don't want to get used to the sand. You can get enough sand in your house, it'll feel like a beach. But it's still not a beach. It's just a house with a bunch of dirt. Don't get weary waiting on the answer. We mustn't forget this very basic concept. And that, church, is simply this. We reap, we reap, we reap, we reap. What I have today, I was planting that days ago, maybe months ago. We all are reaping right now. We reap. That's just basic, and we must understand that sand produces sand, but prayer produces solid foundations. Amen. If I neglect prayer, then I can't but expect to receive sand in my life and instability. But when I give myself to daily prayer and I wrap myself around my Savior and I have a relationship with Him and I pour my heart out to Him, I may leave and I may not feel any different, because this is not about how you feel. It's how you live. You can feel dead, dull from being wore out on your job, but meanwhile God is blessing your life with things that you bought in the prayer closet when you had your face on the carpet. You go to God in prayer tomorrow, the next day, somewhere God is going to bless you with a blessing because you did the right thing at the right place and you kept the sand out of your life. Don't get weary while waiting on the answer. He is a God of your problems, a God of your sandy, messy situations. He'll help you clean it up and get it right again so you can see the foundation you're building on. Job had three friends who brought loads of sand. I mean, Job had a tough situation. The Lord had a conversation with the devil about what we were going to do to Job. Have you really ever felt like God might have had one of them conversations because life is just really going downhill? And I know He's not, but it's just, I've been at a place where I'm thinking, Lord, I know I don't compare to Job, but did y'all work something out? Because I'd really like you to go ahead and call halftime or something. Time out. See, he had these three friends, and oh, Job, the devil touched him, took everything away, then touched his body almost to the point of death, but he had to keep him alive. How bad is your life when it depends on the devil obeying God? Well, he had to. He said, you save his life, but you can do anything to him. And there he was, covered head to toe with boils, laying out in a pile of soot because it was so sore. And his three wonderful, wonderful, wonderful friends come along and start talking to him. Oh, wonderful friends, Job, write them a birthday card. Send them something of appreciation, a gift. Because these guys, they deserve it. But, you know, he just was faithful. And Job kept saying, no, God's good. No, God's faithful. I don't see Him, and I turn around, I don't know where He's at, but my God's good. He'll come through. Don't you worry. And they kept scolding, Job, you've got evil. You've done something. Confess it. There's something hidden. Everybody knows this. You're a laughing stock. No one even wants to think about you anymore. You're a stench. No, no, no. My God's good. God is good. They kept pouring sand all over his life, and Job just kept shoveling it out, shoveling it out, shoveling it out. You can just keep on throwing it in here. He said, but here's the deal. When you build a foundation, when you intercede for your children daily, when you pray for them when they have birthday parties, you pray for them and offer a sacrifice like I did, just in case they might have got a little rowdy with the party and you know, drank a little too much or whatever. He goes, I do all of that. I want to make sure God blesses my family. And he loses it all. Crops, herds, everything. Yet he maintained his integrity while these guys are sitting there going, you're just something wrong with you, buddy. God hates you. God's judging you. And he's like, no, no. I know my Redeemer lives. I know he lives. I know he lives. And he maintained his integrity. And then God showed up. And he turns to those three friends. And oh, he didn't just say, shame on you. He spent some time letting them understand this man builds on the rock. I don't know what's wrong with all of y'all. Something's wrong. Job was right. And church, I just want to tell you this as you stand. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. If you build on the rock, families, I want to encourage you today. If you build on the rock and you keep instilling in your children these values, if you're going to reap, you're going to reap. It's going to all come back to you. But just continue to build on the rock. Continue to keep prayer in your home. Don't ever let it go out. Don't let anything replace the prayer in your home. And understand these things that we hold dear to us, these things that we embrace and say, that's what makes us who we are. Those are the things that are going to save your kids, not keep them out of church. The world would like to put its brand on them, its mark on them, and draw them out. But the church has arms open wide, saying they've got a place in the kingdom of God. They're going to grow in the kingdom of God. This is not a place that harms your children. It's a place that makes men and women of God out of them and causes them to find their calling in life and find their calling to ministry. And God is going to bless your families when you understand we got to get the sand out of the house. What are you looking at? What are you watching? What are you spending your time doing? Are you making your house look a whole lot like the pile of sand out there that people are building on? We don't want our inside of our home to at all look like what they're building on. That's shifting sand. It might feel good. It might have the essence of a beach, but it's not a beach. It's just a dirty house. Lord, I pray, cleanse our houses today. Cleanse our homes today. I'd like to ask you, church, could we gather to the front and pray an intercessory prayer? Let me explain. When you intercede, you're standing between someone and the altar. You're standing between a loved one. You're standing between a circumstance and the altar. Let's gather to the front. And you're saying, God, I'm standing here as the go-between. Lord, I'm the one that stands between them and maybe judgment. But I'm praying, Father, for your mercy. I'm praying for blessings on my home. Lord, I'm praying that you would pour out truth into my extended family. I got sisters, Lord. I got brothers. I got relatives that need to hear the message. And I'm praying today, intercessory prayer, God, that you hear them. Hear them, God, and know what they need from you in Jesus' name. Oh, Holy God, help us today, Lord, to inventory our lives, to inventory our practices, to inventory what we do on a daily basis, and get a broom in our hand, and let's sweep the debris out, and let's clean our homes up, let's clean our families up, and let's serve God with pure hearts. Let's have purity in our minds. Let's have purity in our souls. Oh, Holy God, in Jesus' name, Lord, be our help, Lord God. Be our hope right now. Thank you, Lord. 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 Holy God, Holy God, Holy God, Holy God, Holy God. Lord, I love your name. Jesus, I love your name.